141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big day for the immediate future of Scottish football. Clubs have voted for whether or not they want to bring the winter break forward, with the decision now resting with the SPFL board. Before we get to that, we do have three big games tonight, with injury hit Celtic heading to COVID hit St Mirren, and it's Sean Maloney's first game in charge of Hibs as they welcome Aberdeen and St Johnstone take on Ross County. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, we've got Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel. You're free. We had to speak to you from home more times than I care to remember over the last week. You're back.
It's brilliant to be back, Gordon, I've got to say. It's been a long, long time. And I'm looking forward to tonight's show. Discussions will be about, do we take the winter break early? But we've got to concentrate on a big league fixture tonight. We've got Celtic, St Mirren, St Johnstone v Ross County, and Hibs v Aberdeen.
I think you've had it quite easy, Marvin. Every time you come in here, it's just some games on and it's nice and relaxed. This is not going to be relaxed. Just to let you know, in case you hadn't noticed the way Scottish football's been the last few days.
No, that's fine, mate. Like you said, I've had an easy run into the show so far, so I'm ready for today.
It is all happening, though. We don't really know yet. I hope we'll find out soon what's going to happen going forward. I mean, the immediate future is we've got three big games tonight, and then who knows thereafter.
Yeah, no, exactly. As you said, you know, I think there's going to be a sellout at Hibs with Sean Maloney going in for his first game. But also, like you said, we're not sure when football's going to be back after this. You know, I know there's not going to be fans in the stadiums if we do choose to continue. Well, 500 in the Premier League ground. So I'm sure, you know, all the stadiums will be packed to the rafters today because, as I said, supporters are not sure when they'll be back in.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need to put your point to Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel. It's strange to have you on a Wednesday. It never happens. It's usually Tuesday and Thursday. And disturbingly, Marvin, he usually has a bath on a Wednesday night, he tells us, and listens to the show.
Is that why he's in the other studio? He's going to just run the bath and then get
that's
in
why
there.
He's got his dressing gown on.
I'm actually prepared because I had my bath last night.
Did you move it for us?
My bath last night. I listened to the show with Roger and Mark.
Good.
And I've got to say, after listening to it, I was sadly missing a Tuesday. But
you think so?
Me and Marvin tonight will be terrific.
Yeah, dream team. 01419511025. Get your calls in then. Like I said, and I said it because I meant it, it really is all happening. We are expecting some sort of confirmation tonight on whether or not we bring forward the winter break. The clubs have voted, but when I say voted, it's just an indication of how they feel. The final decision now rests with the SPFL board. So let's hypothetically say the board members are on the fence and they're listening to the show. What would your final sales pitch be to them? Whatever side of that debate you fall on, pick up the phone and let us know. It would be a nice idea to actually talk about on the field football matches that are happening tonight. So if you've any thoughts on those games, please share it all right now. 0141 951 1025. Let's go to St Mirren. It's been a disrupted build up to this one. It does go ahead, I think, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, I think you'd be forgiven for forgetting there is actually games on tonight amongst all the winter break madness. St Mirren, as you say, didn't actually want this one to go ahead. They requested a couple of times that it should be postponed due to that well-documented COVID outbreak they've had. And despite having a depleted squad, the SPFL say they have enough players by the rules for the game to go ahead. So that's 13 outfield players and a goalkeeper is the minimum. And the SPFL deem that they have that, so the game will go ahead. But it will be a real uphill task for them. And expect to see a few names in the team that you probably aren't too familiar with, and they're also coming up against a Celtic side fresh off the back of that League Cup final win on Sunday. Some more injury worries for them though. David Turnbull out of this one after coming off injured at Hampden. Ange Postecoglou also saying yesterday that he'll need to be careful with Kyogo as well after his recent injuries. Definitely some interesting team news on the way. I'll get it to you as soon as I have it.
Yeah, as Andrew says, it's a strange backdrop, but we do have a game on a Wednesday night. In fact, we've got three, so if you want to talk about purely the football that is on before we worry about the stuff that might not be, then you're more than welcome to do that as well. For instance, Celtic fans, should Kyogo play again? Does he have to be rested tonight off the back of the cup final? No David Turnbull this evening. St Mirren are decimated, but they have the required number of players to play. So whatever your thoughts are on the games, 01419511025. And in the meantime, I'm sure lots of you want to have your say on whether or not the league winter break should be brought forward before we get confirmation of that news. So pick up the phone and let us know. Let me recap exactly where we are tonight. The Premiership meeting, I believe, is about to kick off. The clubs have had until 5 o'clock to vote for three options, really. The three choices are carry on, stick to the original plan. We have a winter break after the Edinburgh Derby on the 3rd of January. And from Boxing Day on, we have to play in front of a maximum of 500 fans. The other options are bring the winter break forward and start it tomorrow, if you like, and kick it all in and bring it forward and try to rearrange the fixtures that would be affected. And the third option, which might be a middle ground, it looks like it would be play on Boxing Day and then start the winter break then. So you're still bringing it forward, you're still trying to eliminate playing in front of fans, but you're getting, what you know, another round of games in so that it perhaps alleviates fixture congestion. What we do know, Marvin, is I think 10 of the 12 clubs are in favour of it. Now, as I said, it will rest with the SPFL board. This is just an indication of how the clubs feel. But 10 of the 12, well, it's obviously quite a lot.
Yeah, like you said, you know, 10 of the 12 want it to stop. So, I mean, it's a difficult situation, though. You know, for me personally, I was a player who played with kind of no fans in the stadiums, and it was extremely difficult. But what I can tell you, I much preferred doing that than football stopping altogether. You know, I believe that, you know, will this virus go away by the time we come back or want to come back at the end of January? Will anything change? I'm a firm believer of just trying to get ahead, you know, get these games out of the way. You know, winter break's planned for a certain date. Let's just do that. Play the last game on the 3rd in the Edinburgh Derby, and then we'll see where we are after that. Is it ideal? No, it's not. It's definitely not, Gordon. I understand that. I understand that you want more than 500 fans in, you know, when the Glasgow Derby happens, more than that in the Edinburgh Derby and every other game in between. But I just don't know, you know, there's no guarantees that we can get to the end of January and things will be okay. So I think it's best just to play these games. I know it's difficult for clubs. You know, Derek White, the secretary at Livingston, has been very vocal on how hard it is to, you know, sort this sort of stuff out and get the, you know, the 1 meter distance between the people that are allowed in there. How do you select the 500 people? I understand all of that, but, you know, I want the league to continue if we possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that is clearly your personal view, and it would be at odds with what Livy, you know, Livy, I guess, are one of the, well, they are one of the 10 teams who wants to just bring it forward and at least try. I think that's the message. So whilst you've given your opinion, are you fairly sympathetic to that view as well and sort of relaxed about it?
Of course I am. Like you said, you've given three options there and I understand all of them. You know, I have what I think, but if the other two, one of the other two were to happen, then I wouldn't be totally against it. I understand it from everyone's point of view. And that's just my personal one. But like you said, the club wanted it to stop now, you know, last games today, and then kind of you kick on after the winter break. And if that's to happen, then it happens. We just deal with it.
Gordon DL, I think the one thing before we all start arguing and picking a side, we always manage to boil this down. Everything in this country, we boil it down to just picking a side. We create two sides and we all pick one, and you automatically hate everything that the other side says. And it would be nice if we could try and not do that. I think before we kick off with that, though, because it's inevitable, none of this is ideal. Let's remember that all we're trying to do is find the solution that causes the least amount of disruption. None of this is ideal. Football got a kick in the teeth yesterday.
Yeah, it was very interesting to hear there Marvin talking about, well, he sampled it. He's played in front of no crowds and he wants to carry on. And I think a lot of people will have the same opinion, Gordon. The one thing I'm very sure is we've got to play on Sunday. Surely we've got the opportunity still in Boxing Day to play in front of full crowds if we possibly can. We've got to get the fixtures in. With that, there's no shadow of doubt for me. I think we've got to go down that road. I've been to games. Marvin's played in them. I've been to games. And as a spectator, I've got to say, without fans, it's absolutely terrible. So if they brought the winter break forward, and I know all the arguments against the fact that we may be in a long journey here with this, but I just think that my personal opinion, I would play Sunday and I would carry on as much as I possibly could as well. I'm going to stick with Marvin this one.
I don't think that's what Marvin said. He wants to just carry on regardless.
Yes, that's what I said.
Yeah, he agreed.
Yeah, I'm going to I'd carry on.
All right, okay. Sorry, I thought you said shut down after Boxing
no,
Day.
No, but right, okay. Got to play Boxing Day for me.
Right, interesting. All right, 01419511025 to get your thoughts across. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB, so no announcement immediately around the corner. Hopefully we'll get one before the end of the show, who knows. But we do have games tonight as well, and that shouldn't be overlooked, Marvin. It's nice to just actually have games, and they're big games.
Yeah, massive games. You know, you look at the St Johnstone Ross County one, that's a huge game. You know, we played Ross County in our last game in a 1-1 draw. And, you know, I was just speaking to Effie Ambrose on the way here, and he was saying how big a game it is for them. You know, they really want to get the win today. If it ends up being kind of the last game before things stop as well for, you know, the next 4 weeks, then it's even more important. But, you know, it's a definite massive battle down at the bottom. And then you look at the Hibs Aberdeen. We've touched on that, Sean Maloney's first game. You know, Scott Brown going back to Hibs as well. So they're all going to be massive games. And then St Mirren Celtic as well.
Come on then, pick up that phone. Let us know what you think. It was lively on the show last night. Lots of people having their opinion on whether the league should be bringing forward the winter shutdown or not. What we do know, what a day on, and we know how the clubs feel, but it's just worth reiterating that doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to go, because the responsibility now lies with the SPFL board. You will notice that the two clubs who haven't said they're in favour of it are Rangers and Ross County, and they make up two of the three Premiership representatives on the SPFL board. So that in itself is interesting and might give a bit of an indication, more than an indication, on how those representatives would feel about this issue. So let's try and take some of your calls right now, kicking off with Alec in Motherwell. Alec, would you bring the winter break forward or not?
Yes, simply because I was talking about it last night, and I missed the last half hour of the program, so I didn't know if this was discussed or not. But I'm looking at maybe playing devil's advocate here, but what would happen, worst case scenario, if the league was going to postpone for much longer, what, 2 years ago, and then do they call a halt to it? The team at the top wins it, as we know, the team at the bottom gets relegated. Well, I know the chances of that are probably very, very slim, but we thought that 2 years ago when it happened. So I'm just wondering, has the SSA, SPL, have they got anything planned if this scenario would and could happen again?
I think maybe what's different this time, Marvin, and without, because I think we all hope we don't get to that, and yeah, to the extent where I'm not even really wanting to think about it yet. But at the very least, clubs now know what it takes to play behind closed doors. So now all we would have to consider would be, can you get the players out there?
Yeah.
And obviously, way back then when we shut down, there was no such thing as vaccinations.
Yeah.
And now there is, and all the rest of it. So not saying it's going to be ideal, this comment may come back to haunt me, but you would just like to think that if the worst were to happen, we could at least get football matches on.
Yeah, you would like to think that, Gordon, 100%. But, you know, we've been surprised by so many things over the last 18 months to 2 years that, as you said, we can't definitely say that. And Alec makes a good point, you know. I'm sure if you'd have said to Hearts fans now, what do they want to do, or Hearts as a football club, and they're saying, do you know what, let's have this break. One of the 10 teams who have voted. But if that's to send you down at the end of the season because we can't fit these games in, you know, these three games that we're going to miss, you'd be heartbroken as a football club if you're 1 point behind the team that are above you. So we have to think about that as well. As I said, there's no perfect situation. There's no perfect scenario here. But I just think, get as many games played as possible, because the last thing any club in the top flight wants to do is vote on, should we stop the league now with not all the games being played and somebody gets relegated?
I think the counter that we keep, in fact, I think Jim might have a counter. Let's kind of hear from both at the same time, if you like. Jim, would you bring the winter break forward or just carry on?
I would carry on. If you're not guaranteed teams to play football with fans in January and February, what's the point of bringing it forward?
Yeah. Well, I think the 10 clubs out of the 12 who want to, Jim, I think their answer to that would be, why not try? What's the harm in trying?
Well, and are you going to see how some players are not fit to play in these fixtures just now?
Yeah.
Are they going to be still able to play in the new year?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, just like any postponement, I guess, you know, if weather was to wipe out a game and it gets rearranged 2 months later, you know, the squads could and might be different, I guess, yeah.
What about the new signings that come in January? Are they going to be allowed to play in these fixtures?
Yeah, of course they would be, yeah.
Well, that's not right, because they weren't here when these fixtures weren't arranged.
You know, but that's what I'm saying. That would just be the same as any postponement, wouldn't it? I mean, tonight, for instance, if COVID wiped out, and that's before we even get to weather and stuff, if COVID wiped out St Mirren against Celtic tonight, like St Mirren wanted it to, St Mirren might sign 5-10 players in January, and of course they would be able to play.
But that's then giving other teams a disadvantage.
No, and by the way, listen, I get all that, but that all sounds, those arguments sound, Marvin, very much like ideal world scenarios. Once you accept that you are in a million miles away from an ideal world, that's when you have to roll with some of those punches.
Yeah, no, I agree. But also what Jim makes a very good point, the integrity of the league. You know, like you said, if these games are cancelled now and, you know, two of the teams down at the bottom have got more money than the others that are down there and go and sign 5-6 players, and all of a sudden the three games that they've missed now, they've got another 6 players to choose from, that's unfair. Yeah. You know, I do get what Jim's saying. I just don't know why we would stop.
Then I guess some people would say, well, the integrity is, if we went to X Stadium, they had their fans, and now for this return fixture, we don't have our fans. And then people could use the integrity stick on that as well, couldn't they?
Yeah, but it's still 11v11. You still have to pick from your squad. Yeah.
Because I'm loving this two sides. How is that different then from just any postponement?
But any postponement, these things happen. If it's weather or something like that, then that's totally different.
Global
but to cancel,
pandemics happen.
Yeah, but to cancel every game, you don't have to.
I'm just trying to wind you up on that.
I know you. I'm going to come over that desk in a sec.
I'm glad
I'm fancy my chances for what it's worth. Gordon, I think. Totally, that, like I said, it's understandable. Once you just view it through that sort of football fan lens, you can understand where Jim is coming from. And let's be honest, let's address the elephant in the room straight away. Mm-hmm. In this city, people are just obsessed about what it means for a Celtic Rangers fixture. Fine, you know, mm-hmm. fine, you know, that's the life of a football fan. But if you're the 10 clubs who want this, and even take Celtic out of it, if you're the 9 other clubs, you are just trying, being the key word, and you don't have to agree, you're trying to get your fans into games, you're mm-hmm. trying to limit the financial impact, and you're trying to avoid the logistical headache of balloting 500 fans. You're not bothered about who's injured and who's not and who might sign and who won't.
No, it's all about surviving, Gordon, for the clubs, because the supporters are the people that, you know, that let clubs survive by coming through the gates. You're talking about the 500 there. I heard Motherwell's chief exec last night, Alan Burrows, on the show, and, you know, I agreed with a lot of things he was saying. I totally understand where he was coming from. And he was talking about even the 500 people coming in who would probably be season tickets. You're losing that. You've still got to police that game as well. It's a very, very difficult situation. The one thing I'm sure of is we can't look at tomorrow and say, right, we're going to cancel, we're going to take this 2-week break now. Surely we've got Boxing Day. We've got to do something after.
I get that, but I think my hunch, I don't know, I think that's the favoured option. You know, if there has to be movement, the SPFL mm-hmm. certainly want it to be after Boxing
yeah.
Day.
But I just
so what about thereafter then?
Thereafter, I think it's going to be a massive decision. I can see both ways. As I said, Marvin's played in front of no fans. I've been there as a spectator. I remember covering the first Celtic Rangers game at Celtic Park with no supporters, and it was the worst experience of my life as a football person.
You've experienced quite a lot.
And Gordon, I'm being totally honest about it. And let's focus on Celtic Rangers, because that is a big one on the 2nd January. That's our game. That's the one everyone attracts to Sky Sports, and it's watched worldwide. And I sat there at Celtic Park, and it was like watching a charity game. And I felt for the players, I felt for the staff, I felt for everything. Of course, the fans are there. But we've got to look at, you know, does Sky play a massive part in this as well?
Yeah, well, they've been
obviously
consulted, yeah.
So there's a lot of discussions to get round the table, and a lot of decisions to be made. I think it's going to be very, very difficult. But I just think because of the fixtures list, everything is, goes with it, I would just keep going as long as I possibly could.
Thank you, Jim. 01419511025. Keep them calls coming in.
Hugh Keevan's first Christmas was the first Christmas. Season's greetings from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. It's Wednesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We should be buzzing about the festive fixtures coming up, and it's anything but. We do have three games tonight, which I guess for some people is confusing and frustrating enough in itself that these games go ahead. But nevertheless, three big games to look forward to. So let's, you know, do that. Let's do the usual pre-match questions as to how you're feeling, how confident you are, who should play, who shouldn't play, all the usual. And then we are still digesting the possibilities. The SPFL meeting, I think at the moment it's going to be a board decision. If it was up to the clubs, well, it's pretty obvious where they would vote. 10 Premiership clubs want to bring the winter break forward, 2 do not, but it does rest with the SPFL board and they will make the decision. It does look tonight like the lower leagues will continue to go ahead. So if you're a fan of a lower league club, pick up the phone and let us know. Obviously they didn't have a winter break scheduled, so the picture's slightly different, but still an interesting comparison nevertheless. Let's bring in Andy, who's a Rangers fan. What's your take on it all, Andy?
Thanks for having me on again, panel. I'm just how you doing? You're all right? Yeah,
good, thanks.
Good, mate.
Good. My take on it is just, I can understand the timing with the winter break looming and us going, right, should we be postponing it? But we've all we've been in this situation for a while now, and we've all known that at any point that restrictions could come in, and we could have been in a position maybe in October, even if a new variant had come along in October, or say even February, March of next year, that these things could come along, and we would we be in a position where we're going, well, let's postpone games until we know when fans can get in or to see what's going to happen? Or would we have just been in a position to go, no, we'll just keep the games going because we don't know it's so uncertain. Should we just keep the games going behind closed doors for as long as it takes until we're allowed fans back in? Now, I know I am voting from a Rangers perspective, so I think it's pretty clear that a lot of the Rangers fans just want the game to go ahead because it probably will benefit us more than postponing it with.
That's the obvious question then for me to return on it. In this city, would you be saying the same if the game against Celtic was at Ibrox next week?
I think, because I'm not going to the game. So, I'd just be quite happy to watch the game regardless. I'm going to be.
I know that, but I'm talking, you said you were honest enough, which I appreciate. It could benefit Rangers in that fixture. So if the game, whether you're going or not, if that game was scheduled for Ibrox next week, would you prefer to have it put back to a time when a crowd could get in?
Probably not, because I'm going to be enjoying watching it anyway. I think that, and it's sad that fans are not allowed in. It really is. I mean, I feel for all the fans who've got tickets, who are hoping to go.
I suppose I meant, Andy, a bit more on a football sense. I'm basing this on what you said, rather than anything that I'm coming up with. You said because it would benefit you would benefit Rangers. Presumably you mean because going and playing in front of an empty stadium. So I'm trying just to look at, if the roles were reversed, presumably it would benefit Rangers to get the game played in front of a crowd, and therefore you would want it.
I think it will benefit Rangers, but I think my opinion would still be the same. I think that the games should go ahead because, like I was saying, if it wasn't, the January window wasn't looming and we didn't have a break, and they have said that the period of time where they're setting out at the moment for when fans are not allowed in, but what if it happened in October? Then, would we postpone games then and say, right, well they've said 3 weeks, so shall we postpone all the games for 3 weeks and then maybe pick it up in 3 weeks and get the games rescheduled?
Yeah. On one hand, I think it is a fair question, Marvin, although I wonder if we are comparing apples to oranges, because the winter break is here and it doesn't exist in October and it doesn't exist in March. So whether that's lucky, unlucky, I don't know, but we can't, I'm not sure we can pretend to have a scenario in March because we do have the winter break this time.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I get both what you and Andy are both saying, but the winter break is looming, but it's not actually here. We're bringing it forward still, yeah, by doing it this way. But Andy makes a good point. If it does come in 3 months' time or whatever, what do we do then?
Don't shift the winter break.
Yeah. Give ourselves the summer one and bring it forward. That's the thing. It's so difficult, When I was speaking about this point earlier and off air, we were saying we're not thinking about it from a financial point of view, clubs that are going to lose money.
Which clubs will be doing.
Of course, which is a massive factor in why the 10 have voted that way. No doubt about it. But looking at it from, a player's point of view or a supporter's point of view, we just want football to continue. Because one thing I can guarantee you, when football was actually halted last time, every single club would have voted for it. Let's play at 500 fans. We would have taken somebody's arm off for that. And that's what we have to remember. When football was stopped last time, we would have taken this scenario all day long, 500 fans, and we'd have been absolutely buzzing. So let's not get ahead of ourselves, I don't think personally, and stop it when it doesn't need to be stopped.
Gordon, that will be shared by a lot of fans, I'm absolutely sure. And I'm also sure a lot of fans will say the first option, if you like, would be to get us in. So if you can do what you can to get us in, try that, and then if it doesn't work, then yeah, that's like the next best case scenario. So it would just depend. It will be, there's lots of different opinions.
Yeah,
out there.
I think Marvin makes a terrific point there. When we were sitting, Gordon, we had no football, you know, just to watch on the TV, just to see our teams coming back, just to see our leagues coming back, see progress. You know, he's right, we'd have bitten everybody's hand off for it. The 500 supporters, of course, it's going to hurt clubs financially, no doubt. As I said earlier, I've been to these games behind closed doors. They're absolutely terrible to sit there, and you feel for the players, you feel for the staff, because they get the adrenaline, they get everything playing in front of their own supporters, the crowd and the atmosphere that goes with it. But I'm with Marvin here 100%. I think that we've got to get through this, and we've got to keep playing as many fixtures as we possibly can, because there might come a time that we can't fulfil the fixtures.
And I guess that will be part of the consideration as well. Are there dates available? And that's why it's quite a complicated process. Thank you to Andy. Let's go to Paisley. Got some very interesting team news from St Mirren Celtic, Andrew.
Yeah, well, as we talked about earlier, there is a depleted St Mirren squad for this one. Still a few recognisable names in there. Dean Lynas starts in goal. It's obviously Jack Anik is out for this one. So Dean Lynas starts in goal. The back four is a lot more recognisable. Marcus Fraser, Joe Shaughnessy, Charles Dunn, and it's Matthew Miller in there as well. But that's when you get into a few of the youngsters. Dylan Reid, Jay Henderson starting for them as well. Greg Kilty, Scott Tanzer, Curtis Main, and Offord is in there as well for his debut. The substitutes for them tonight are Minsky, Taylor, Jack, McDonald, Kenny and McManus. So just the one debutant for St Mirren, but they have had to make a good few changes for this one. And there is a first start for Celtic as well. Owen Moffat has come in for his first start for the club. It will be Scott Bain who starts in goal, so there's no Joe Hart in the squad tonight. Anthony Ralston, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Stephen Welsh and Liam Scales is the back four. The midfield three, Nir Beaton, Callum McGregor and Tom Rogic. And it's going to be Mikey Johnson and Owen Moffat either side of Liel Abada. The substitutes for Celtic tonight, Hazard, Taylor, McCarthy, Shaw, Henderson, Montgomery and Juranovic. So, of course, no Turnbull, who is injured, and Kyogo is given a rest tonight as well.
Very interesting team news. We've got Connor, who's on the line, and he's a Celtic fan, so we'll get his thoughts on that team in just a second. St Mirren wanted this game off, Marvin. They really wanted it off, and everyone, I think, has a level of sympathy for them. It was judged that they've got the 13 players, and therefore, you know, as the sort of rule goes, they've been asked to play. Look, clearly, it's very inexperienced. If you look at that substitute bench, you know, very inexperienced there, and there is an element of inexperience about it. But it's, you know, Fraser, Shaughnessy, Dunn, Miller, Kilty, Tanzer, Main. So you may be looking at sort of, it's, listen, I'm not expecting Jim Goodwin to agree here and say, yeah, I'm sure he wanted it off, but you know what I mean? It's there is a recognition about some of those names.
Yeah, and that's why the rules are in place. You know, I really do feel for them. I really do sympathise with them, because this could be any club that this happens to. But there's a rule there. Like you said, if you've got, is it 13 or 14 players that are available to play and one of them's a goalkeeper, then the games must go ahead. And as difficult as it is, and like you said, you're seeing that team there, and there is some names, some household names within there, but there's also some players that I don't recognise. But this is football. You know, one of the, or two of these players might take the opportunity today, and that's the start of their career. So, you know, although it's disappointing for people to miss out, these guys have got an opportunity. And I definitely understand why Jim wanted the game off. But, you know, as I said, the rules are there for a reason.
Yeah, see, touching on that, Gordon, we sat in this studio on Saturday and listened to a Dundee United side coming in against a very strong Rangers side. And it was the same. It was full of youngsters. And every pundit in here, I think, was looking at 3, 4, 5. And look at the performance Dundee United put up against Rangers at Ibrox in front of nearly 50,000. It's an opportunity for these young kids. These young kids would be, you know, they train every day for this. They're up against Celtic, who have just come off a fantastic win against Hibs in the League Cup at the weekend there. As a young guy growing up, want to play football. That is a fantastic... I know that Jim would like his strongest side against Celtic. Of course he would. But it gives a youngster an opportunity to go out there and show what he's all about.
It's an interesting Celtic team as well. No Kyogo anywhere. No Joe Hart anywhere. First start in the league for Owen Moffat. There's quite a lot to digest here. Let's bring in Connor and Falkirk. Let's start with that team tonight, Connor. No Kyogo anywhere. What do you make of that?
Hi, guys. How are you doing? I hope you are well.
Good, thanks.
It's like listening to the producer. I think it was mainly down to the player. If you remember right, the Ange Postecoglou before the cup final said that if the player feels well and if he feels fit and he's ready to go, then we'll play him. He obviously doesn't feel too well today, or he would have played, yeah. I think. So I think it's definitely down to the player, 100%. And either way, I'm glad that he's getting a rest, although obviously it's better to have him in the team. With Joe Hart being out, that's really disappointed with that. I don't know if he's obviously nursing a wee niggle or whatever. I don't think he is, but I'm really disappointed with that, because I think since he's came in, he's definitely shored up that defence, and he's been like a standout for me, Joe Hart has. So it's kind of disappointing to see him not even in the team, never mind on the bench or anything. It's disappointing.
I wonder if it's a case of Mystic Marvin. I think last week you were of the view Kyogo plays this cup final, you get Kyogo to play this cup final, and you do whatever you need to do in the other games. Is that what we're seeing in action tonight?
Yeah, I believe so. And you know, as we're saying,
it's almost like you know what you're talking about, by the way.
If Kyogo says he's fit to play in the final, then he has to play, which he did. He scored two goals. You know, the cup's back now at Celtic Park. Fantastic for them. Ange is absolutely delighted. The fans are delighted. And he misses out today. I think that was always going to be the plan. You know, I think he would have been really touch and go for the final. I think even if he wouldn't have played in the final, it would have been touch and go for today. If you had to pick one of the games for him to play, and it was a League Cup final, and it doesn't surprise me at all.
I mean, Gordon, to stick up for fans of wee teams everywhere, when Celtic or Rangers, but in this case Celtic, are decimated, that's very different to when St Mirren or Livy or Motherwell or St Johnston are decimated. They've still got Tom Rogic and Callum McGregor, and everyone's waxing lyrical about Anthony Ralston and Leila Badas,
you know, so Chobby's form.
But relatively speaking, I suppose if you were to talk only about Celtic and not compare them to anyone else, they've obviously got their problems as well.
It's certainly not their strongest starting 11. We all know that, but there's still abundance of talent in that team, Gordon. You named a few of them. Tom Rogic is probably, with me, my opinion, with Aribo, the best player going about just now in Scottish football on form. I think the two of them have been absolutely brilliant. I'm delighted young Moffat's got an opportunity. I watched him coming on at Dingwall. He looks lively. He looks a lad that's hungry for the chance to go out and show what he can do. They've got a bit of pace up that top, up the top end of the pitch here with Abada, Mikey Johnson. Beaton, I think, has been, you know, excellent since he came back in. McGregor, the captain. They've still got a very strong side. And St Mirren will need to... I think it's a big pressure game for St Mirren as well, because they need points on the board. They're really struggling at the moment in time. But so do Celtic, because Celtic can't afford to lose anything in Paisley tonight. Remember, there's a 7-point gap there they want to close. Kyogo, I'm not surprised at all.
Marvin, you'll love this. Just quickly, your old pal Hugh, right? So last week he kept calling Owen Moffat Adam Moffat. Do you hear this?
Yeah.
His mum phoned in.
Yeah, last week. I was on it,
honestly.
Yeah. And then I saw Owen come on in the cup final and I was absolutely buzzing, because I knew that what the Hugh story said made me chuckle.
Oh, he's some man. He'll be listening. Hi, Hugh. Connor, after tonight, what happens? What's your view?
Well, I think we should postpone the league as soon as possible. Like I was saying to your producers, and this isn't very often that I'm disappointing you guys, but I was the night at the start of the show, because nobody mentioned the players' views on this. The players, they're the ones that have to obviously go out and play, and they're together with each other, and they're running about, they're next to each other, do you know what I mean? And they're the ones that suffer if anybody else in the team contracts this COVID-19. So, and then they take it on their families, and it ends up in a domino effect.
To be fair though, Connor, to be fair, as valid as it might be, that this is not, as far as anyone can understand, this has not been driven by the players. This has not been driven by fear of player safety or anything, you know, like that. So I think that's why. I'm not saying you don't take players' opinions into account, but we're not talking about moving the winter break because we're worried about player safety.
No, but I think people should be. I think that the SFA or the SPFL, or whoever it is that's making decisions, should bring player safety into the discussions.
I get that, but at the same time, remember, this is purely as a reaction to government restrictions, you know, limiting the number of fans. So that's why it's all about fans. You know, the government, as far as I can tell, aren't worried about players playing. They're worried about fans going to the games.
No, I understand that, but it also, I agree with you, but I'm also saying that players should also be brought into the discussion as well. That's what I'm saying. It's not just about fans, you know what I mean? I get that obviously there's Celtic Park, there's 60,000 fans, and Ibrox are 50,000, etc. So obviously it is going to be a higher chance of them contracting coronavirus rather than the players, because there's only like 24 out in the park, you know what I mean, or 22 in the park. So I get that, but as I say, I think it should be postponed as soon as possible. And the only people I see that are saying aren't they, should they be, as Rangers fans, because obviously the Old Firm's on the 2nd of January, so they're obviously wanting the, do you know what I mean? They're not wanting any Celtic fans there.
Well, Rangers and Ross County, those are the two clubs who don't seem to want it. So yeah, interesting to see where we go from here. Keep your reactions coming in, either to the COVID stuff, the winter shutdown, or actually the games that are on tonight. Much changed. St Mirren, a few changes in that Celtic team as well. So keep the calls coming in. This is an ideal time to pick up the phone, and we could be speaking to you next.
Talking baubles all year long. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel are here. Lots of discussion kicking off about whether the winter break should be brought forward or not. The decision is about to be made, we hope. Certainly the votes were in at 5 o'clock. That was just an indicative vote. Like I said, the SPFL board will decide, and hopefully we hear before the end of the show. We do have three big games tonight. A quick reminder of some of the team news regarding Celtic's trip to St Mirren. No Joe Hart anywhere in the squad, no Koyogo anywhere in the squad, and well, obviously a raft of players missing for St Mirren. Some experience in there though, like Fraser and Shaughnessy, Charles Dunn, Curtis Main, Scott Tanzer. So there is a bit of experience there, but a much changed St Mirren team, and a few changes to Celtic as well. Let's hear from the manager of Celtic ahead of that.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough for Jim and for the club, you know. I think Dundee United were in a similar position on the weekend. And as you said, it could happen to any of us. You know, we get tested. You know, as a manager, first thing on your checklist every day is to make sure we've got nothing ourselves, you know, because as you said, we've got an injury, or a fairly significant injury list. If we lose players, then, you know, we're in a similar boat. So, but it's just the way of the world right now. And you obviously, yes, you do feel for oppositions, but at the same time, that's still a game we need to win.
Yeah, I think the comparisons to the weekend, Gordon, are they're relevant to a point. You can never, you know, compare exactly. Every situation will be different. It's just because it's so fresh in the memory. It was the age of some of the Dundee United players that went to Ibrox at the weekend and equipped himself well. You know, can St Mirren do the same tonight? That'll be the challenge, won't it?
Yeah, the only difference, St Mirren are at home tonight rather than going to Celtic Park and in front of a large crowd that Dundee United had to occur on Saturday against Rangers. And I thought Dundee United, the young kids, you've got to rise to the challenge, and they certainly did that. And same with St Mirren tonight. It'll be a good atmosphere there. It'll be a good crowd because fans will be desperate, you know, to get as much football in as possible. And as a young player coming through, and I keep saying it, and everybody that's played this game will tell you, Gordon, you're sitting there week in, week out, watching the first team, just hoping and praying that one day you get the opportunity to go out there and show what you can do. And what a chance for a young player tonight at St Mirren, going out against a Celtic team.
Can it galvanise you, Marvin? Can it do something to raise your levels, that sort of siege mentality?
Most definitely. You know, the experienced boys will want to protect the younger players. You know, definitely if I was playing within that team today, I'll be trying to go, you know, above and beyond to make sure I can do my utmost for the team and like I said, help the younger players out. But Gordon makes a fantastic point.
First time for everything.
Thank you, Marvin.
I think you've raised his level tonight. He's having to behave himself.
I'll be back next Wednesday with Marvin.
These young players, you know, they want to play in these games. This is what they're dreaming of. You know, their families will be, you know, watching on from a distance thinking, this is fantastic, you know, seeing them out there. And like I said, they can make a name for themselves. The same way the Dundee United players did it, you know, away at Ibrox, these players can do it today at home to Celtic.
You're going to be a fascinating one. It'll be freezing at that game tonight, that's for sure. It always is. It's freezing at that stadium in August, so goodness knows what it'll be like. Tonight, Robert's in Thornley Bank. What's your take on the winter break, Robert?
Yeah, I was just saying, Gordon, hi panel, Gordon, Gordon, Marvin. No, I was just listening from last night on tonight. I think we need to get away from the Celtic Rangers thing, this whole thing, the Scottish football.
Good luck.
Big fixtures with the Dundee derby, the Edinburgh derby, and obviously the Old Firm derby. But it's a lot of income going to be lost for teams like Aberdeen And I get the point with Rangers. If I was a Rangers, involving Rangers, I'd want the fixtures going ahead, because it's probably two of the biggest hostile away fixtures they're going to get all season. Go to Pittodrie and then Celtic Park. But I think the way it's went about, percentage-wise, you can get 500 people in it, say, Easter Road, Celtic Park and Pittodrie, but you're also getting 500 people in the Albion Rovers or Airdrie in the Alloa game. Yeah. It doesn't add up. It should be a percentage. Maybe if they did, they went about it a bit better, a percentage to the stadium, it might have been accepted a bit more to play the fixtures. It just doesn't really add up.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a side of it we've not actually got to. You know, we've been obsessed with, do you move the winter break, do you not? What about why we're actually here, Marvin? And that's something I said at the start. It's very easy to pick a side and argue. But let's remember, we're having to react to what's tough, and a lot of football fans and clubs feel that way. Why only 500? Why not scale it to the size of the stadium?
Yeah, well, my understanding would be how people get to games. You know, so if
that,
it's
I think that's the official answer, isn't it?
Yeah, if it's a percentage, then it's going to be difficult, because they're still going to have X amount of people on the bus, all the trains, etc., going to these places. Like you say, Ibrox, Celtic Park are two of the bigger ones. So you're going to still have a lot of people, you know, going through the turnstiles at the same time, etc., etc. So I don't think the worry is when fans are actually within the stadiums. I think it's them getting into the stadium and them also getting there.
Robert showed a bit too much balance for this show, to be honest. Robert's a Celtic fan, and he says, I understand where Rangers are coming from. It's the two most hostile away venues, you know, no real problem with that from Robert. He says we should get away from the Celtic Rangers thing, though.
Yeah, I agree with him. You know, my viewpoints are based on just football. You know, just football. I support Hibs, as I said to you off air, and I'm assistant manager at Livingston, but I just want football to continue. I really, really do. Just because I remember being a player and it stopping. You know, I remember how fans felt at that time. I remember, you know, people saying, just want to have football back to watch, whether it's being there or, you know, watching it through the live streams that the clubs were allowed to do. We do need to get away from thinking, you know, pro Celtic or pro Rangers, if you have one opinion or another. There's a lot of other football fans within this country, you know, and me being one of them. I just want football to continue for those reasons.
Like, that's a fair way of putting it, Gordon. No one's asking you to change your opinion. Everyone should believe in their opinion. Fine. But it's unfair. It's wrong to overlook all the other clubs and what they think about this. Listen to Alan Burrows, listen to Aberdeen, listen to Hearts. And here again, I'll repeat it, you don't have to agree with them, but let's at least try and understand that they're trying to do it for their right reasons. Whether you agree with it or not, it's well-intentioned, and it's not all about Celtic's injury list or who Rangers might or might not sign or whatever in January.
Yeah, listen, I heard the part of the show last night with Chief Exec Alan Burrows on this show, Gordon.
You stayed in the bath that long?
Yes.
You must have been wrinklier than usual, and I'm talking about your palms, by the way.
It shows you how good the show was. And I thought...
You just keep topping up the hot water.
Exactly, right, with the toe. He was absolutely brilliant, and he made some great points. And it was all about his club. And everybody involved in football is the same. I totally understand the financial situation of it. I feel really sorry for supporters, because also they forked out a lot of money for season tickets, yep, Gordon, hoping that they're going to see their team week in, week out. I totally take that on board. But Marvin made a great point earlier when the fact he said, it was not that long ago we were sitting with no football. We'd not even to watch, not even to look forward to, you know, to sit and say, right, okay, the game's on on Saturday or Sunday, but we can't be there. Okay, fine, we're disappointed with that, but at least we can see our team, we can support our team, and people put money into the club.
To be, again, though, just to constantly try and balance things, and as it stands, so the clubs who voted, whoever they are, let's take it away from Celtic and Rangers, with Hearts or Aberdeen or Hibs. I'm assuming they're not viewing this as a decision between no football at all, are they? It's easy for us to say our restrictions might not be lifted, but you know, as it stands tonight, they're not asking you to choose
to buy a bit of time.
Yeah, they're not asking you to choose no football. Yeah. If that was the decision, then of course, who on earth wants no football?
Yeah, if I thought for one minute, and I'm sure everybody would be saying that we could stop it after Sunday, and then things would be so much improved in 3 weeks down the line, then yes, fine, let's bring it back. I think it makes perfect sense. But
it's just the doubt that that's going to happen.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I think that's the obvious counter argument to what the 10 clubs want. There's no doubt about that, and that's why it's not going to be easy. Thank you very much to Robert. Takes us up nicely to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I've had a look at the questions. I think they're Marvin friendly. And I don't mean to insult you. We just know that you...
Is it adding up 1+1 and stuff like that? You've been cheeky, Gordon.
I think they're Marvin friendly. They're sort of within your era since we adopted you, and, okay, you know, that sort of thing. So if you want to take on Marvin or Gordon tonight, 01419511025, pick up the phone right now and see if you're not playing. You're in for a treat, because see that guy next door, he is unpredictable would be the right word, I think. You will enjoy it, whatever happens. We'll play Beat the Pundit next.
Hugh. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel are here at 01419511025 to join in, or Twitter is at Clyde SSB. For the second night in a row, lots of discussion about whether the winter break should be moved forward or not. To recap where we're at tonight, we are awaiting a final decision from the SPFL board. The clubs were asked for a vote, if you like, an indication of how they would feel. 10 of them want to bring the winter break forward, so clearly a lot of appetite for it. 2 don't, but that is not binding. It's just an indication the SPFL board will decide. It looks like the lower leagues will go on and carry on. They didn't have a winter break planned anyway, but still interesting that they've chosen. And in fact, we'll try and speak to one of the lower league clubs after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I just spent the last 5 minutes during the news, Gordon Dalziel, trying to, what would the word be, educate Marvin on some of your finest moments on Beat the Pundit. So I had the full back catalogue out. I had the time that you thought Bevis Mugabe was Argentinian.
Yeah,
I had the
it happens.
The infamous United States of Arab. I think everyone remembers that.
I've had my moments in Beat the Pundit.
There have been a few. What's your recent record like again? Remind me.
Very poor, I've got to say, but I have been a disgrace to the station.
Well, do you know what? A week in isolation, more than that. Maybe you've had a bit of time to study.
Absolutely no time, Gordon.
I dread to think what you got up to, stuck in the house yourself for 10 days.
I dread to tell you.
Lots of television.
Lots of television. TV.
PG stuff.
TV.
It's a family show, remember?
Yeah, very much so. Box sets. Yeah. Bit of Formula One. I'm right into Formula One.
That's
in my bucket list now.
What is? To drive one?
No, going to Silverstone to watch it. That's going to happen for me.
Okay, right, fair enough. Well, aim high and all that. Right, let's bring in tonight's contestant, who's Dominic from Shawlands. Hi, Dominic.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Not bad at all. How are you? Are you well?
No bad. Good. First day of isolation, so
Oh. Any words of advice for Dominic?
Yeah, if you want to take my number, I'll talk you through it after the show, Dominic.
Do not do that, Dominic. Apparently, he was the ultimate phone pest. Right?
Get your phone book out and phone everybody.
I've had so many complaints, right? People were then phoning me, Dominic, to say, is he phoning you the same amount of times he's phoning me? Roger Hanna told me last night that in one day, DL phoned him 8 times. 8 times in one day. Funnily enough, producer Callum, who's also not with us, he lives in Shawlands, I think, Dominic, or that neck of the woods, so he's nowhere near us in Motherwell, and yet Gordon phoned him asking to bring him a pint of milk. He's atrocious, so do not accept that. Do not take the number. I'm sorry to hear that, Dominic. Hopefully you can have as good a Christmas as possible.
Cheers, lads.
And a signed ball that you can kick up and down the living room. That might be the plan tonight, if you can beat Marvin or indeed Gordon. So heads it will be Gordon Dalziel, and tails it will be Marvin Bartley. Oh, it's the isolation derby. It's Gordon.
Yes.
Against Dominic.
Hold on.
Gordon, look. Good luck.
In all the years in this show, I've never been ahead, right? It falls tails every single time.
Chances.
And I've got the wee guy that I don't like, wee producer Chris.
You don't like him, do you?
No, I don't like him. No. And he's sitting right next to me. And he's come in prepared. That's a fix.
I promise it's not.
That's a fix.
No, I watched it. It wasn't a fix, Gordon.
Marv,
I promise.
Take your shoes off, kick back and watch a master in action, mate.
You've been called worse. Right, let's give Gordon Dalziel something else to listen to so that he can't steal Dominic's answer. Dominic, you've got to beat this guy. 30 seconds, answer as many questions right as you can, and if you don't know, pass quickly and we will move on, okay?
Cool.
Right, 30 seconds starting now. Who's played the most league games for Celtic this season?
Uh, Too hot.
How many games did Rangers win in their Europa League group?
Two.
Who are St Johnston playing tonight?
Ross County.
Who is the most capped player from the most recent Scotland squad?
Cal McGregor.
What was the score the last time Celtic played St Mirren?
5-0.
Who are top of La Liga?
Atletico Madrid.
And what year did Rangers last win the Scottish Cup?
Never.
How many English sides qualified for the Champions League knockouts?
4.
Okay, let's bring Gordon DL back. Gordon, can you hear us? You got us? Got us loud and clear?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm worried about you. I think this could go anywhere. They're actually quite straightforward questions.
Right, go.
Right, 30 seconds starting now. Who's played the most league games for Celtic this season?
McGregor.
How many games did Rangers win in their Europa League group?
2.
Who are St Johnston playing tonight?
St Johnston are playing Ross County.
Who was the most capped player from the most recent Scotland squad?
McGinn.
What was the score the last time Celtic played St Mirren?
5-0.
Who are top of La Liga?
Real Madrid.
In what year did Rangers last win the Scottish Cup?
2009.
Hurry up. 9. We did start the question, so you're allowed to finish there. How do you think it went, Dominic?
Not bad.
Right, let's find out then.
I didn't know.
Do you know the thing, Marvin? He's the worst winner and the worst loser.
I can see it already.
If he wins, he's going to terrorise Dominic. Yeah. And if he loses, he'll spit the dummy. Who's played the most league games for Celtic this season? Who would you go for, Marvin?
I'll go for McGregor.
It's David Turnbull.
Ooh.
Hence the hamstring injury, perhaps, at the weekend. Yeah, he played all of them, 18 so far. How many games did Rangers win in their Europa League group? You both got it. It was 2, Bromby and Sparta Prague, so it's 1-1. You both knew St Johnston are playing Ross County. 2-2. Disappointed in you both here.
Uh-huh.
Craig Gordon, most capped Scotland player in the recent squad. By a distance.
Nah, don't count goalkeepers.
Alright, okay, that's making up your own rules. That's fine. Yeah, by a mile, 64 he's on, so none of you got that right. Interestingly though, Dominic's a Celtic fan. You're an interested observer. You both chopped a goal off for some reason. It was 6-0. And you both went 5. So it was 6-0 the last time.
I was out of the game. I left early.
That doesn't surprise me. So we're level on 2-2. Who is top of La Liga? It is Real Madrid, Gordon DL. So you go
on, Dominic. How are you feeling now?
You go 1 in front. However, I'm going to come back to.
Oh no!
Yeah. Dominic got through more questions than you.
Oh no.
And he knew that there were 4 English sides qualified for the Champions League knockouts.
Oh, didn't I get that question asked?
I know that because you were too slow. Sort of the way it works.
Okay.
Which means you would be level.
Oh no.
What did you say for the Rangers question
2009.
Again?
2009.
It was obviously a guess, yeah.
No, I was at the game.
That is correct. It's 2009.
Tell me Dominic never got it.
Dominic did not get it.
Dominic, I really feel for you, mate. Honestly. But
stuck in the house, isolating, can't get out. Christmas ruined, and he's just lost to you and beat the pundit.
Without a ball as well.
Sorry to make you feel any worse, Dominic.
How do you love those apples, little man? Oh, get in there. I am back. Wilson won last night, Dale tonight.
Sorry, Mav, Dominic.
I told you.
Be quiet a minute. Turn your mic off. Okay. Dominic, I'm sorry. Have a good Christmas. As good as you can.
Right, thanks, guys.
Honestly.
Winners win, Gordon. I love it.
Brilliant, mate. That's what it's all about.
I need to check the rule book to see if you're allowed a 3-minute pause between 2000 and.
9. Yeah.
When you got there in the end.
What did Dominic say?
Dominic actually tried to get his wee sort of, you know, that old Celtic Rangers dig in. Dominic said never.
Ah, well done.
It's one of those.
Well, the one thing, Dominic will never get a ball, so.
And Marvin, you've now, again, we've kept it semi-sensible for you in the times you've been in. We'll now just probably spend the next hour with phone calls wanting to debate whether Dominic was right in what he said. That's just.
Yeah, I can see where this is going.
As if we've not got enough drama on our hands at the moment. Why are you not saying he's wrong? Why are you not saying he's right? Guys, please don't do this to me. A couple of days out from Christmas. I've got enough on my plate. Right, pick up the phone. Let us know how you're feeling about everything at the moment. Whatever's on your mind, it's a good time to share it. We do have big games tonight, Marvin. He's got a major soft spot for Hibs still, so we'll look at what Sean Maloney's done for his first game in charge. Who's he picked? Who's he not picked? Any changes? And of course, continuing to build up to the other two games as well. Now, it's not just the top flight clubs that are being affected by discussions about what happens going forward. The lower league clubs are as well. And with that in mind, I'm going to speak to Falkirk Chief Executive Jamie Swinney, who joins us now. Jamie, thank you for taking the time. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you.
Good stuff. I appreciate it's been a hectic time for anyone involved in running football clubs. Bring us up to speed on where the lower league clubs are at. I mean, certainly reports tonight, you guys are going to crack on, if you like, and play on regardless of the 500 restriction.
Yeah, I think that's quite a fair summary. The SPFL called a meeting with the Championship and then League 1 and League 2 earlier, and I think the pretty strong majority of clubs, a high majority of clubs from both, well, all three leagues, sorry, were in favour of carrying on and not bringing the game to a pause at this stage.
And why was that? I mean, speak on behalf of yourself, I'm sure, first, and maybe the feeling you got. What was the driving factor behind that?
I think speaking from a Falkirk perspective, we feel that our concern would be that where we ended up last year in terms of the lower leagues were suspended initially for a few weeks in January last year, and we can all remember that extended into a significant period of time, and we ended up with a crazy backlog of fixtures to play just to get the season finished, and that wasn't right for a whole bunch of reasons in terms of trying to ask players to play 3-4 games a week. So I think the fear at the moment, both from Falkirk, but I think from across the clubs in the lower leagues, is that if we voluntarily suspend the game just now for a period of time and things don't improve, in fact they potentially get worse, and then we are actually suspended indefinitely for a period of time because of, at that point, a regulation or a government ruling, then we can end up back in, a very similar situation that we were in last year. So the feeling was, as much as it's very, very frustrating just now, to only be playing in front of 500 fans for the next few games, we felt it was probably just about the right thing to do for the time being.
Yeah, I think that's important, isn't it? You said just about the right thing to do. Everything becomes so polarised here, you always have to pick a side. This is about finding the scenario which is the least worst, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're obviously going to have a lot of our season ticket holders that can't come to a game on Boxing Day, which is extremely disappointing. I think fans across the game have already missed out on so much over the last, the last 18 months to 2 years in terms of the last two seasons. To now be missing out a game is extremely frustrating. It'll be the same again for a game versus Dumbarton in January, as well as obviously the fans that travel to away games not able to go to both Alloa and Airdrie, unlikely to be able to go to Alloa and Airdrie. So it's not a good situation. It's a really frustrating one, but we've got to make what we feel is the right decision at this moment in time, and certainly the collective decision amongst the lower league clubs were better trying to push on just now and get games played.
I mean, judging by Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL in the studio, I think they would certainly agree with you. They would prefer that the top flight clubs adopted a similar mindset. Many callers that we've had on tonight would also prefer that the top flight clubs adopted a similar mindset. What we're not seeing, Jamie, is those clubs themselves suggesting that they want to go down that route. Do you understand that? What would the differences be? Is it because they do have a winter break that was already scheduled? Does the increased attendances that they should have, albeit Falkirk are a very big club, but generally speaking, do you understand why top flight clubs don't quite feel the same?
Yeah, I think I do. There's obviously, in a lot of the games, a much higher crowd, and therefore it's much more difficult to accommodate. I mean, there will be a number of lower league clubs where 500 is actually a reasonable amount in terms of they're okay with it. They're not maybe over the moon with it, but they're happy enough because they'll be able to accommodate their season ticket holders. I think the minute you can't accommodate your season ticket holders, it becomes a bigger problem for you as a club. So I do understand why the clubs in the Premier League are looking at that and saying, well, how do we, after all the disappointment and frustrations we've had in recent years with no fans in the ground and haven't they let supporters down by not allowing them to come in, to go back and do that again? I do understand why there's certainly a discussion about maybe looking at a 3 week or bringing the break forward. I do understand that.
Yeah, it's interesting, Marvin, to hear that the way the lower league clubs feel, and then to, because as Jamie does there, accept that there might be differences, because people who are looking at this tonight and saying, good, see, look at what the lower league clubs are doing, why are we not doing that? That's common sense. For every person who says that, someone on the other side would say, well, if you're trying to accommodate your season ticket holders, even if you're Motherwell and you've got a few thousand season ticket holders, or your Aberdeen and Hibs and Hearts who've got way more, it does become more difficult.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. You know, like you said, there's not really a right answer in all of this. But, you know, definitely for the clubs at the bottom, what would their season ticket holders rather? You know, you get these three games in guaranteed, as far as we know now, or we get to the end of the season, you're three games short and potentially you can get relegated on the back of that. You know, there's no doubt about it. There's no right answer here. And I'm interested to see Jamie's thoughts on, you know, we had the live streaming last time. Financially, how much do clubs actually lose out on? Because obviously when you've not got fans within the ground, mm-hmm. you don't have to pay for policing, etc., as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
So I want to know how much, you know, roughly would a club lose out on? What would the difference be?
Yeah, Jamie, what do you have to say for that?
Yeah, it's a good question, Marvin, and one that I couldn't say with any real certainty in terms of, at that point in time, I was at Stenishmuir Football Club, and therefore I could only speak on behalf of Stenishmuir, not Falkirk, but certainly, although there was a loss, mainly because of the fact you couldn't have hospitality and a lot of other matched the income streams. So not really just the ticket money, but once you add everything together, it did become a sizeable loss. The hospitality, it will be a different percentage of your commercial income depending on the size of your club. So for a smaller club, it will be higher, a higher percentage. For a club of Falkirk size, with our fan base, it will be a lower percentage of our commercial income. So I think the streaming certainly helps, Marvin, and it does bridge the gap a little bit. But certainly, you know, it is still a loss every game. You are still losing money.
Yeah, I think, listen, I won't pretend I know what I'm talking about. Jamie knows about running football clubs. To just almost regurgitate or paraphrase what clubs have said. So when Alan Burrows was on last night, and lots of Premiership clubs are trying to reflect this, actually 500 is more difficult because that's not behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So you do have to pay for the stadium to be open. There will need to be a level of shielding. So you have costs. And anyone who's in there, your 500, they're all season ticket holders. So yeah, they're not paying anything on the day. They paid it in the summer.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get anyone walking up. So actually 500 in a way is more problematic than none. And then, as Jamie says, no hospitality. That's a big one for clubs.
Well, let's not start the rumour of clubs just closing it off altogether and having no fans in there, Gordon, because my Twitter would be going crazy then.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie, overall, how are you feeling? Are you managing to maintain a level of optimism at your level? You've got, well, again, Falkirk maybe in a slightly different scenario, but by and large at that level, lots of part-time players who've got other jobs and things to balance. So you're still optimistic that, you know, the season will finish and things like that?
Yeah, I obviously don't want to say that there's no chance of you know, further problems, because as I think Marvin mentioned earlier on the show, we've been surprised several times already in the last 18 months to 2 years. In terms of the season finishing, I would expect, I don't see that being an issue. I think that will finish as far as I'm concerned. You know, the clubs in the lower league showed incredible resilience last year when they had to play three games a week over a grueling period, and that was mostly part-time clubs. We would be obviously a little bit different in the basis that we are a full-time club, so our challenges are slightly different and greater in certain regards, because, as I say, we can't accommodate all our season ticket holders. In fact, it's a fairly small percentage of our season ticket holders that we can actually accommodate. So there are challenges. We were looking forward to, you know, Martin Rennie, our new head coach.
It was his
first game at home on Sunday, and we're probably expecting a really positive, a really, you know, strong home crowd for Sunday. So it's really disappointing that his first game, that there's not more Falkirk fans going to be able to be in the stadium, because I'm sure it would be a really positive reception for Martin in his first game at the club.
Yeah, Jamie, listen, you've explained that very clearly for us, and I think the listeners will appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time. All the best.
No problem. Thanks very much.
Good man. That was Jamie Swinney, Chief Executive of Falkirk. It was interesting to hear the points, the comparisons. I'm not pretending it's apples and apples, because as Jamie admits, Premier League clubs have got bigger fan bases. They already had a winter break scheduled. So it's not the exact same thought process, but interesting to note that all the lower league clubs, it looks like they will continue, and yet we're not sure about the top flight. 01419511025. Keep your thoughts coming in. We'll speak to you next.
Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'd be lucky to get one wise man.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. And I think we have some breaking news with regards the winter break. Does it move? Does it not? When does it move to? Well, there's no official confirmation yet, I can see from the SPFL, but judging by this tweet from Motherwell, it would suggest that the winter break will be brought forwards, because they say the Boxing Day match with Livingston will go ahead in front of 500 fans. The subsequent away games with Ross County and St Mirren have been postponed. So it's that middle, well, almost a middle ground. I said at the top of the show, three options. We carry on regardless, we bring in a winter break early, as in tomorrow, or play the Boxing Day fixtures, take the hit, take the 500 fans, get another game in, alleviate fixture congestion, but ultimately still bring the winter break forward a bit. And Marvin Bartley, we have our answer. It looks like that is what's happening.
Yeah, you know, as we said, there wasn't really a right answer, but you called this early and said probably it's the most likely of the three options. So listen, that's what we decided to go ahead with. At least the clubs know where they're at well in advance, and you know, we go forward from here. Hopefully it's the right decision and we get all games played. I'm sure it's been made with, you know, the best interests at heart.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, you and Marvin, you've nailed your colours to the mast early on. If you had your way, this is not what you would have chosen. But I think you both also said, you know, you understood it. It's not something that's going to cause great anger or frustration amongst you.
Totally understood it, Gordon, because as I said, I thought Alan Burrows was brilliant last night, explaining everything, what his thoughts were. He knows it better than likes of myself. He's inside a football club and he's working in that environment, and he believed that that was the best way. And the one thing you know about Motherwell, they've got the supporters at heart. So it's a decision that's been made. Everybody knows where they are now. We can enjoy our football until Sunday, and then obviously, hopefully, winter break, things improve and we can move on and get the season finished.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see. I don't know if this is across the board yet. We're still, this is, you know, breaking news and trying to find out where all the clubs sit. Motherwell already know. They've already said that the rearranged games, so the away game against Ross County on the 29th of December and St Mirren 2nd of January have now been arranged for Tuesday the 18th of January and Tuesday the 1st of February respectively. So quite soon thereafter, which is interesting, because when Roger was on last night, we were also saying, look, there's nothing to say that these games need to be rescheduled in January. It might be that they're slotted in elsewhere. But certainly from a Motherwell perspective, the games against Ross County and St Mirren that were set for 29th and the 2nd have been rearranged for the 18th of January and the 1st of February. Marvin, you look confused.
Yeah, I am.
Is this just because of your Christmas plans? Let's be honest.
No, that's a different problem. Mum's already messaged me, so she's definitely listening, Gordon. But so when are the players due to come back from the winter break then?
I think the plan was... Now, let me get this straight. I don't want to upset anyone by getting it wrong. So I think the proposal would have been... I had it written down earlier the date, so... Just really the action would return on the week beginning Monday the 17th of January. That's all I had at that point.
Yeah, so the 22nd of January would have been the first game, because I imagine how it used to work is, you know, you'd have 1 week off, 1 week winter camp, 1 week before the next game.
Yeah, so it's the Wednesday. It's the Tuesday. Well, certainly Muller will play on that Tuesday.
Yeah, which is pretty... So players have to come back before then.
Everything's getting brought
shifted
forward
that
isn't
way.
It?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's... Yeah.
You're raging all about the Christmas plans, aren't you?
Yeah,
let's be
because
honest.
I've got to, you know, go and find some presents now, because my mum will be expecting me home.
she's listening as well, and we've just outed him. So he usually goes home like way after Christmas. So he's got a lot of time to get presents. Has now changed. He's going to have to go home for Christmas. And you're still playing on Boxing Day.
Yeah, but the 27th, Gordon, instead of, you know, going home on the 3rd or the 4th, is a big difference.
He had more time.
Oh. I'm beginning to sweat in here. It's getting really warm in here.
You're under pressure.
Oh, no.
Right, come on. That's the news that everyone's been waiting for. What do you make of it? We've had so much speculation. It certainly is the case. I mean, we've not had that official confirmation, but I mean, that's it. Look at Motherwell. They've pretty much announced that their fixtures have been rearranged. So, yeah, that's the confirmation you need. The winter break will be brought forward. It will not start until after the Boxing Day fixtures there. So they've tried some sort of compromise. I know that doesn't always please everyone, but going to play on Boxing Day in front of 500 fans, take a hit, try and alleviate some fixture congestion down the line, but the winter break gets brought forward. Now the next question: can we get back in a couple of weeks' time in front of fans? Well, we're going to have to wait and see. We're going to speak to some more callers very soon. I almost neglected your full-time teaser though, and I know you won't want me to do that. I've made it nice and short for you, easy as well.
Yeah, go on.
Only a couple are Marvin friendly time frame wise. But Graham Barry wants to know, in tribute, if you like, to Kyogo at the weekend, name the last six players to score a double in the league or Scottish Cup final? Right, Gordon, give him his moment. Don't say anything, Gordon. Come on. There's one that you're going to have to get. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me on?
Anthony Stokes?
Yes. Well, you had me worried. Wow.
Is Tom Rogic on?
No, he is not.
Forrest?
No.
Okay, Christy?
No.
Okay, I'm going right through them all then. Chris Boyd?
Yes, well done. He did it in the League Cup final 2008. I think the Scottish Cup final around the similar time. Anyway, after Kyogo at the weekend, who are the last six to score a double in the League or Scottish Cup final? You have got two already. You've got Anthony Stokes because Marvin was there, and you've got Chris Boyd because Gordon was running out of wrong answers. Stephen is a Rangers fan on the line. Stephen, we've just had the news that the winter break will be brought forward. You're the first caller to react to that. Was that the right call or the wrong call?
No, it's a joke, mate. Sorry, it's a joke.
Well, you'd have to apologise to me. I'm okay with it.
No, I'm just apologising to you. I just think it's a joke. So if they're going to ban the games on Boxing Day, why not just ban the games tonight?
No, sorry, the Boxing Day games go ahead. Is that what you mean?
But what about after the Boxing Day games? Why don't you just ban the football for the new then? What I mean? I'm like, what's the point? It's a bit frustrating. Mm-hmm. You know, you start getting into a swing of things.
I know.
And then it's coming up. But everybody last year watched the football with the fans and there was not a problem. How can you not just still keep going without the fans? Yeah. Everybody knows the criteria, you know what I mean? So I don't get it.
I mean, there are a few different issues there, and I think again lots of people will agree with Stephen. You know, why not do it tonight? Good question. But I suppose whilst the government are allowing you to do it in front of full houses, and if we're talking about finances and if we're talking about trying to give people football either on TV or in person, if you're allowed to do it tonight, you can kind of understand that as well, can you not?
Yeah, definitely.
That goes ahead.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I wish I knew the answers to this. Hopefully we do get the answers to it. You know, hopefully it's not just this is what we're going to do and there's nothing else. Hopefully there's a reason behind it, and I'm sure there is. But at this moment in time, I don't have the answer. I'm as confused as everybody else.
Stephen Glass made this point yesterday, Gordon. You know, well, why not tonight? You know, why wait until Boxing Day or why wait to bring them in? I don't know either. You know, it's not up to me. I guess if I was to think of an obvious counter to that, it would be, well, you have to pick a date at some point to start the restrictions. And if you were to say to people, by the way, as of now or as of today, there would probably be a similar outcry where people say, oh, hold on a minute, you've not given clubs any notice. And is there a right or wrong way?
No, there's not a right and wrong way. And you're right there in the fact that you say that, well, why now? There's games tonight, Gordon. The decision we've just heard at back of 7, half past 7, whatever it may be, I think it's the right decision in the fact that let's get Boxing Day, let's play the games in Boxing Day, and then obviously the clubs are trying to buy. This is not just about an individual, this is about Scottish football, this is about clubs trying to do the best for the league, for the fans, and I can understand it. As I said, and I will keep saying it, I listened to the Motherwell chief exec explain it last night, how he feels about his club and the supporters and how he's trying to do everything in his power, and I think the rest of the clubs are the exact same. So we've just got to get on with it now.
What about that side of it, Stephen? Because actually, you've got the guys' support. Marvin and Gordon essentially agree with you. They would not have come to this decision tonight. Do you at least understand it, though? For those 10 clubs, 10 other clubs who want to try and get fans back in, they want to try, even if it can't work, they want to try and get fans in, and they don't want to lose money, if possible, of playing behind closed doors. Do you understand that?
Obviously, every club wants their fans in, obviously. Right? But why just come up with it now? Is it because Rangers are going to Celtic Park and Rangers aren't going to have some of the three of their players? Celtic are going to go out and spend a lot of money in January. They're going to have all their players back for injury. And I get it,
Stephen. I get the temptation because people feel so passionately about Celtic or Rangers, and it's tempting to view everything through that lens. But are we not being really unfair on fans of every other club out there? I said it, take Celtic out. That means that there were nine other clubs and you don't have to agree with it, but there were nine other clubs who wanted to try and get their fans in, who wanted to try and alleviate the pressure of finances playing behind closed doors. We can't make this all about Celtic's injuries. Surely that, what does that say to Aberdeen or Hearts or Hibs or Motherwell or St Mirren or whoever?
We all went through last season watching it from home and we survived, right?
Was it good though? Was it good? Was it desirable? Or would you have rather, you know, if there was an opportunity to get fans in, should we not explore it? That's all they're asking.
Aye, but it's three games, and then see what happens if this pandemic keeps going on, this Omicron thing that's coming through, what happens if that keeps going on? Right, what happens if that keeps going on? So nobody's going to get into, so they're going to cancel the football, so Rangers are going to win the league, even though they've not even played a quarter yet. You know what I mean? So where's the start? Where's the stop?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have, obviously, we're at pretty much a halfway point, so we've played more than a quarter, just for accuracy. I mean, you'll agree with a lot of what Stephen says, Marvin. Again, I just think it's important just to... I get why fans feel... And by the way, it's not lost on me. It makes this show go round. It pays my mortgage, that rivalry. But 10 clubs wanted to try and do the bit for their fans. Celtic's injuries... For all we know, when that game's rescheduled, Kyogo might be injured. Yeah. Celtic might have a COVID outbreak. Joe Hart might be injured. Rangers might have signed four Dutch superstars and beat Celtic 7-0. We don't know that stuff.
Yeah, of course. And like you said, you know, that's not the reason the games have been stopped. It's because, like you said, there's 10 teams who wanted it stopped and there's two teams that didn't. I understand kind of why today's games are allowed at full capacity, because it brings everyone onto 19 games. So I talked about integrity earlier. Can't have it one way, then, you know, the other. I try and say now they should be stopped on 18 games. So it makes sense for the 19, everyone to get to 19 games, and then, you know, 500 fans from the 26th. But listen, the decision's been made. We can talk about it all night, and it's upsetting. But it's, again, it's not Celtic and Rangers thing. Let's take it away from that. You know, it's obviously what they think safe for the Premier League. And as long as we get the season finished, that's the main thing. So if this is the way that we have to go about it, then, you know, fair play. It doesn't matter what fixtures are going to be missed. All fans are going to be frustrated. Players are frustrated. I'm assistant manager. I'm frustrated. But, you know, it's about the league and finishing the league and finishing it, you know, safely.
Well, we have a date, Gordon. Wednesday, 2nd of February. Celtic against Rangers, live on Sky Sports. 7:45 kickoff on a Wednesday night. That'll be lively.
Yeah, it certainly will, Gordon. I said at the top of the show, I was unfortunately one of those guys allowed in to watch that game. I played in Celtic Rangers, Rangers Celtic games. I know the atmosphere, and anybody asks you about the game, the first thing, and every player that's played in them will tell you the same thing. It's all about the atmosphere. Unfortunately, it was behind closed doors, and it was absolutely terrible. But look, we're buying ourselves a bit of time here with this decision. Let's get Sunday out the road, see what happens in 2 weeks down the line. Hopefully things start to improve, then we can move forward. The only thing is, we need to make sure that we've got fixtures and dates to get these games finished.
Yeah, it all, and I appreciate, I don't want to fire too many dates at you. You can see all this stuff on our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Everything, that the full lot starts back Monday the 17th, Celtic against Hibs, 7:45 on Monday the 17th. The next night, Tuesday the 18th, Aberdeen Rangers, live on TV, and the rest of the teams play that night as well. So Dundee United, St Mirren, Hearts, St Johnson, Livy, Dundee, Ross County, Motherwell. Then the following Tuesday, again, it's a full fixture card bar one. So likes of St Mirren, Motherwell, Hibs, Hearts, that Edinburgh derby. And then the big one for Glasgow, Celtic against Rangers, Wednesday, the 2nd of February. So pick up the phone, let us know what you make of all that. 0141 951 1025. Before we go any further, let me just run this by you, if you don't mind.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas.
You should see the stress on Marvin Bartley's face, knowing that he has to go and buy Christmas presents. That tells you that the big day is getting ever closer. And if you've already donated to Clyde One Cash for Kids Mission Christmas appeal this year, thank you so much. A massive thank you from everyone here that's involved. Unfortunately though, for thousands of children across Glasgow and the West, Christmas is just another day. We're not even talking about making it magical or special. We're actually just trying to make it a bit different so that these children can feel something positive on Christmas Day. And your donations make a huge difference. We're in the process of getting the much needed money out to the most vulnerable families, but there is still time to donate if you can. Clyde1.com cashforkids.com/mission, and that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce. J&D Pierce Structural Steelwork Fabrication and Construction. Let's take more of your calls next.
Oh, come all ye faithful, and hope your team is joyful and triumphant. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Looking at those phone lines, I think we could extend it. The big news tonight, the winter shutdown will be brought forward. It will start after the games on Boxing Day, and it will then kick in, which means fixtures rescheduled for late January, early February. You can check our Twitter feed out, all the details there. I won't fire too many dates at you, but the one that you perhaps will be looking out for, well, a couple of big derbies, Marvin, at the start of February.
Yeah, there's a lively one on the Wednesday night, isn't there? No, listen, it's, as you said, they've been moved to then, and you know, hopefully we can get full fans back in full capacity. That's the hope of obviously, yeah, you know, moving the winter break. So hopefully, you know, that bears its fruit.
Yeah, Wednesday the 2nd is the date for that rearranged Celtic Rangers games. Lots of people unhappy, and it's good to hear all sides. Craig says games either need to be cancelled before Christmas / after tonight, or played to the initial schedule. This compromise is laughable. Rod says, you know, something similar. If the argument was to bring the winter break forward to enable us to get fans, why play Boxing Day with a 500 limit? And Van Snoot Dog, similar. 10 clubs are doing their bit for fans, but I won't get in on Sunday. How's that fair? It should have started after tonight. What do you make of that?
How can you argue it? Like, how can you? They're right in what they're saying. You know, if it's to say that we don't want to have, you know, games with 500 fans in them, so let's have none at all. You know, let's stop it after tonight, after you can have full capacity. I totally get it.
I wasn't lucky enough or unlucky enough to be in the room. Might it be, and like we said, Craig does put the word compromise in sort of quotation marks. If part of the pushback was about fixture congestion, is it just some attempt? I'm not saying it's a right attempt. Is it some attempt to at least take one more fixture out, you know, of the supposed backlog that's worrying people so much?
Yeah, so what does that mean if a, you know, a team gets COVID and they, you know, have like a clear out of players and you don't have enough to fulfil a fixture? Does that mean you're not going to get to fulfil that fixture at all? I mean, if you can move two games, people can say, why can't you move three? And I get that. I totally get it. I don't know. I've not looked at the fixture list for the future to know when they can be fitted in or not. But it just doesn't make much sense. But as I said, you know, there's a lot of people smarter than us that are trying to put these things together.
Trying. It's interesting to see how it's all playing out. Quickly on this teaser, by the way, Graham Barry wants to know, after Kyogo at the weekend, name the last six players to score a double in the league or Scottish Cup final. You've got Stokes, you've got Boyd,
Edward,
yes.
Rudy Scatchell was one, wasn't he? Which is heartbreaking.
Lovely.
No, it's not lovely. It's not.
No, it's a lovely answer. Beautiful. From you. He knows his stuff, this guy. He's done his research. Right, you've only got two to get. We'll get them before at the end of the show. Honestly, it's just constant one way and the other. I think the last caller was very unhappy at the shutdown being moved. What about Andy in Broomhill? How do you feel about it, Andy?
Good evening, panel.
Hello.
Evening. Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, well, actually, it's funny. I'm all in favour of this, bringing it forward. I could hear the steam whistling from Stephen in the last caller's ears, or maybe he'd left his kettle on too long. But no, there's many reasons why this is the right way to go about it. I'll tell you, first and foremost, you've got safety. You want to look after the fans, you want to look after the players, you want to look after the crowd. And so it's the safe decision for now until we learn more about this Omicron. Number two, money. The clubs will make money from match day revenue. And although I don't think you're going to get, you know, full crowds by, is it the 19th of January or the 16th, whatever it is, there's more likelihood of it, even if they're getting an extra 500, 1,000, 2,000 people in the door. That's match day revenue, which is so important for these clubs. And third of all, the spectacle. No one likes watching football with no fans at it. And the longer you push it back, the more likely it is. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the decision to do this whole locking down thing, but it's happening one way or another. And pushing it down the road a bit is the best way of trying to guarantee some fans getting into the grounds. That's just my points I wanted to put across.
And the thing is, people are all making their points really well and really clearly, and you kind of think, yeah, I can see that. It goes back to what I said at the show at the start. We'll never get there, Gordon. People pick their side, and people are very entrenched in it, and they'll be very angry or whatever if it hasn't gone their way. But there's a lot of logic in what Andy said, in the same way that there was a lot of, with the steam aside, There was a lot of understandable questions from the previous caller.
I think all the points we've heard tonight from the callers, Gordon, is very hard to argue with. It really is. There's a lot of frustration out there from the supporters. It's how you look at it. It's your own personal opinion on it. Marvin and I both said that, you know, if it was us, we would vote to go forward and keep it going. The 12 teams have decided, look, this is the best way for the clubs. Mm-hmm. They know better. So, as I say, some supporters will agree with it. Others may not. But hopefully in a few weeks, Gordon, things will be. We don't know. We're just buying a bit of time and see what happens from then. But I agree with everything the caller said there about playing games behind closed doors. But at least we will have football, and that's the most important thing.
I have no idea if this makes it any easier to digest or not, Marvin. The SPFL board had the final decision here. Is it at least some sort of comfort moving forward? And you won't feel this way if you were against it, but the fact that it was sort of 10-2, it's quite clear the way the clubs felt.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a scenario where it was 6-6 and then the SPFL board had to decide? Again, I'm not trying to make anyone agree or disagree, but at least maybe 1% make us feel better that we know how the clubs felt about this by and large.
Yeah, you know, when I spoke earlier, I'm sure Gordon was the same. We were speaking from our own points of view. You know, when it's 10-2 and there is a vote, and I know the vote wasn't the deciding factor, but, you know, SPFL have to think, you know, what's best for the clubs. And the clubs knows what's best for each other and themselves. So if they vote 10-2, you know, do what they say. 100%, I get it. My only worry is the numbers are still going up at this moment in time. So pushing it, you know, down the road and saying, let's stop the games now. So if the numbers go even higher, you know, fans aren't going to be allowed in.
Yeah.
You know, so there must be something that's going to happen, or they hope that happens, with the circuit breaker that brings the numbers crashing back down.
I've always said they could stick a camera in those boardrooms and maybe give us a live stream. For people who don't know the way it works, so this did go to the SPFL board. Now, that board consists of Neil Doncaster, Chief Exec, Murdoch McLennan, Chairman, and Independent Non-Exec Director Karen McCluskey. Now, there are then three representatives from the Premiership: Hibs' Ron Gordon, and then, and quite interestingly, Ross County's James McDonald, and Rangers General Manager Stuart Roberts. Now, remember, the only two Premiership clubs who were against this publicly were Rangers and Ross County, and they actually had a say, if you like. They had an actual vote, so to speak. But of course, you would imagine the board, the reason they ask the clubs is to get a feeling. And there's also representation from down the leagues, like Hamilton's Les Gray, Dunfermline's Ross MacArthur, and I think it's Forfar and Airdrie who've got reps as well from down the league. So they're the ones that ultimately had to decide. The club vote didn't decide anything. It was just to see how the clubs felt about it all. Would you understand, Andy, you know, all the concerns though about, you know, what if we can't get this done, as Marvin says, and why not just get the games done and alleviate potential fixture congestion and go back to behind closed doors? Do you understand any of that?
Oh, I can totally understand it. There's two sides to every coin, and I can totally understand why some people would say, let's just crack on with what we've got. I can understand Rangers' position, what with the African Cup of Nations. And let's be honest, they obviously fancy playing an Old Firm game at an empty Celtic Park rather than a full one. But I can obviously understand why everyone would have a differing opinion. But in my view, it comes down to safety, money and spectacle.
Nice way of summing it up. You don't have to agree, but I always like it when people come up with a nice little succinct phrase. What was it? Safety, money and spectacle.
No, exactly. Whether you agree or disagree, it's always good to hear people make, you know, their points, and it helps you understand it a little bit more from the other side. So, no, you said Andy's making some fantastic points. Do we all agree? Will everyone agree? No chance. You know, not on this. There's no chance of that happening. But like you said, it is good to hear people making their points.
And Gordon,
yeah,
here's what it's going to be. That what a few weeks. Strap yourself in for this, because a lot of the discussion over the last couple of nights has been, oh, hold on a minute, we can't have Celtic's injuries clearing up by the time this rearranged fixtures come around. Who does Kyogo play for internationally? It's beat the pundit round two.
Yeah, Japan, yeah.
Tom Rogic?
Australia.
They've both got fixtures on the 1st of February. So might it be that actually they two are missing and Rangers are full strength? Might it be that they're withheld and Rangers have issues. We just don't know, and that's why the next few weeks are going to be blockbuster.
Yeah, but everybody's going to have their opinion on it, Gordon. Unfortunately for the ones that disagree with it, that's the way we're going. We've got to accept it. We've got to trust in the people that voted for it. And hopefully it will get better. We don't know. We have no idea what's going to happen 2-3 weeks. It could get better, it could get worse. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing for everyone concerned, I feel for the fans that are locked out, is the fact that we still have football. That's the most important thing.
Thank you, Andy. That will probably be the final call. So just to round off that story before we make the mad decision to look at some games that are actually happening just now, the 10 clubs have got their way. The winter break will be brought forward. Sky are clearly content enough with it. You just wonder if that was part of the compromise, if you can call it that, to play on Boxing Day. I'm not really sure at this point. It's developing tonight, but the 10 clubs have their way. The winter break will be brought forward, but it won't start until after the Boxing Day fixtures. So have we heard the end of this? Absolutely not. We'd like to drag these things out in this part of the world, so I'm sure there's plenty more where that came from. It is still goalless though between St Mirren and Celtic at the moment. Much change, St Mirren team. Few changes for Celtic as well. And Marvin, I can't let you go without your big moment. Hibs, first game for Sean Maloney. He's made a couple of interesting team selections as well. Still goalless against Aberdeen.
Yeah, a couple of interesting attacking ones. Obviously with Scott Allen coming back in, I think, you know, a lot of Hibs fans have wanted that for a while. You know, it looks like they're playing a 3-5-2 with Scott Allen kind of in the number 10 role, and Campbell taking up a deeper role. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they go. Obviously, you know, Belgium were playing a 3-4-3, so a lot of people expect him to go with that. But I think long term he probably will change it to that.
Every fan loves the new era, Gordon, don't they? And the Hibs fans will be interested to see what happens.
They'll be looking forward to it, especially after the disappointment of the weekend, Gordon. New style, new manager, well thought of, obviously worked with big superstar players. Be interesting to see what he brings to Easter Road. I'm sure there'll be a real big crowd there tonight to wish him all the best.
A good chance, Celtic. Good save from Linus to turn away a Mikey Johnson chance. So Celtic trying to press early on and try and get that breakthrough. But St Mirren standing firm at the moment, and there are no goals in any of our three matches. I think what we can do then is round off this teaser with Kyogo doing it at the weekend. Name the last six other players to score a double in the league or Scottish Cup final. You've got Edward, you've got Stokes, you've got Scatchell and Boyd. Mm-hmm. Two more to get.
Kenny Miller?
No, actually.
Oh no, that was Mackie.
Our old pal Kenny.
How far back are we going, Gordon?
We're actually not going too far. So Boyd's 2008 is the furthest back, I think. Yeah.
Right, I'm out. Go on, Marvin, you take it away.
You're out. Oh, I'm out as well. That was my trump card.
I was going Kenny Miller as well. We need clues, Gordon, please.
There's a Celtic one.
Dembele?
Nope, further back, 2013. English striker. Oh, I don't like the silence.
No. Especially, no? I don't like Marvin's silence.
I'm staring at Gordon blankly right now, and he's staring at the screen.
Where did he leave Celtic for? Norwich?
Hooper?
No, yes.
Gary Hooper.
And the last one. Gordon, you're useless at these things. Do you remember the 2010 Scottish Cup final?
No, I don't.
What if I told you that it was Dundee United who won it?
Siftry?
No, it's before that. So that would be sort of the David Goodwillie team. It wasn't him. Who else was in and around the attacking positions? You do.
I don't.
Played for the likes of Cardiff and Blackburn down south after he left.
Cardiff and Blackburn?
Had a recent spell actually at St Johnson, didn't he? Yes. I'm trying to talk myself into that.
Give us his initials.
Oh, for goodness sake. CC.
Craig Conway.
There we go. We got there in the end. Thank you, Gordon Dalziel and Marvin Bartley. Thank you for all your calls. A really difficult time for Scottish football. You continue to keep giving us your opinions, and we really appreciate it. We are back tomorrow. I can't believe we've got you in two nights in a row, but we had to reunite you with... Look at him, he's actually left the studio. He's not even talking to me anymore. He's gone. He's back with Mark Wilson tomorrow at 6, and Callum Gallagher is up next.